You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
Good morning, church. We are the Wilsons. I'm Dexter. This is my beautiful wife, Keisha. So I have to point this out. My wife is looking extra gorgeous today, you know. I just want to put that out there. Thank you.
He just trying to get out of dishes, guys. Don't buy it.
It doesn't hurt to try. Does not hurt to try. So we are here first to start off the festivities in regards to just speaking about the Youth and Family Conference that we came from in Denver. It was a great conference. There were people from all over the country. Just sharing what they're doing in their specific ministries when it comes to youth and family. Quite honestly, it was a bit overwhelming. There were so many different tracks. There are tracks for Kingdom Kids, teens, and there are definitely tracks for families as well. And there was so much information. So what we've done is that we've pooled as much as we can and brought it back to Brooklyn. And today what we're going to do, we're going to share some of the things that we've learned and how we'll be able to implement those things in the children's ministry. So before we go any further, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Righteous Father, we thank you so much, Dad. We pray for your word to impact our hearts. We pray that you will use all of us powerfully. Let your word speak. Let everything else be placed to the side. And I pray at the end of this, we will have renewed convictions in regards to your kids and in regards to your children's ministry. We love you. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife will start first.
Hey. Thank you. So when I was single, it seemed like there was a point in the church where there were a lot of services about marrieds. And honestly, I did not know anything the Bible said about marriage. So during these times at church, do you know what I would do? What I wish I did was I would do the spiritual thing and say, well, let me take some notes so I can encourage my married friends. I didn't do that. Or the even more spiritual, well, I am married to Jesus. I'm going to take notes so I could be the Proverbs 31 wife to him. I didn't do that either. Do you know what I did do? I thought about what I was going to eat after service. I was like, okay, bang. What am I going to eat after service? Fast forward, kind of wish I listened to those messages because I'm sure they would have helped me. But then after I got married, I realized how much God's word talks about marriage. So I would have read something like Hosea and said, God, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he has a wife like that? Honest truth. Now, after I got married, I read it and I say things like, wow, I see God's faithfulness. I see his love, his forgiveness, things that I totally missed. Easy to say, Dexter and I don't have any children yet. We don't have any kids yet. So going to this conference, I was able to hear things that I totally didn't realize in God's word. So some greater people than me are going to share about it. But has anyone ever tried reading the Bible in a year? How many people finished? Some of y'all is lying in here. So when I would get to Numbers, man, there's something about that book. It just did it to me every time. But I've gotten past Numbers, and I read something in Deuteronomy, something that they mentioned in the conference, and I'm like, oh, man, I didn't even realize how much God talked about children in his word. So Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, it says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk around along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that the days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. So while we were at the conference, one of the women who shared, she said how God wants the kids to get it. Now, parents in here and the teachers in here know children learn different ways. So one kid, you have to write it down. If anyone from the West Indies remember doing your times tables over and over again, some of them, you got to sing a song to them. They learn it that way. Oh my gosh, I've read Deuteronomy 11 before, totally missed God's heart, where he really, really wants the children to get it. After coming back from the conference, it made sense to me why Jesus pointed out the kids as the greatest in heaven. So I'm not going to say the kid's name, but in the twos and threes class, there's a little girl. I love this little girl. Not that I don't love the other kids. I just put that out there for the parents, you know. Not that I don't love the other kids, but this little girl is so willing to give love and to get love. So there was a teacher last week who was with one of the kids, and he hugged the kid, and the other little girl was, like, playing with her toys. She literally stopped what she was doing and walked over like, oh, y'all giving out free hugs? Oh! She hugged him, just went back to playing with her toys. She didn't ask him. She didn't anything. But in my mind, when I looked at that, this little girl didn't give him side eye like, last week you made me put the toys away. I'm not going to be your friend. She forgot all about that. It was just pure love, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Or even with the infants, some kids, think about this with me. So a one-year-old doesn't know they're 1 year. You know, they don't know they're 1 year old, right? But what they know is for as long as they've been a person, there's been this person, their mother. No clue about time. But as long as they know themselves, they know this person. Some of the one-year-olds, when the moms bring them down, if you hear the wail in their stomach that comes out with the thought of the mom leaving them, they don't even want to think about it. What it brought to life for me was Jesus on the cross. Jesus being with God forever. As long as he knew himself, he knew God. Oh my gosh. As I'm watching it, before I would be like, look at his hand baby. All he wants is his mother. But not anymore. Now it makes so much sense to me how this pure love, the thought of it being abandoned, how it made Jesus cry. Something that I didn't really experience as a child. So, my last point. I have a best friend. I'm not even going to say her name because people in here know it. You said it in your mind. I love her so much. I talk about her all the time. Jesus and God talk about children so much in the Bible. If it's that important to them, it should be that important to us. Thank you.
Amen. I don't know how I follow that up. But I will try my best. If you could turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So there are a lot of impactful messages that were shared during this conference. Phil Arsenal, the brother who leads the children's ministry in Boston, started everything off. But there was a brother in particular. His name is Chris Amon. He's from the Chicago Church of Christ. And he had one extremely, extremely great question. The question was, do you have an A-plus children's ministry? So what does that look like? Do you have a comprehensive plan for your children? So for instance, do you have a plan to create foundation for your kids that are zero to fourth graders? Are you building friendships with the kids that are preteens? Are we developing faith with our youth, and are we getting fruit as a result? So oftentimes, we don't think about that, right? As disciples, our focus, our plan is, let's bring as many people in as possible and help them to become disciples. We don't necessarily think about the harvest field being in the church. But right now, we have a pretty large harvest field. In the kids' kingdom, we have 70 kids currently, and that number keeps increasing. Thank you, parents. thank you. That number increases, it seems, weekly. And so we have a very robust field to You see, when you sidetrack, you shouldn't do that. But right now we have around 100 kids. But at the same time, are we doing everything we need to do to help those kids? The great thing about having the kids in service today is that you get to see the joy that we feel each and every Sunday. You get to see their energy. You get to, you know, feel their love. And the fact that they have some of the best vocal cords ever. They will tell you how they feel in a heartbeat, and they will not withhold any of their love, you know? If you guys, again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So one of the things that we are focusing on is building a foundation for the children's ministry in the kids' kingdom. But the funny part about that is that we can't build that foundation. The reason why we can't build that foundation is because it's already being built. It's being built by mommy and daddy each and every day. So in 168 hours in a week, the kids are with us for 2 hours at most. The rest of the time, they're in school, after-school programs, studying, but primarily they're with their parents. And I love you, parents. So know this is love. So one of the things is that we could definitely see in the children's ministry what's happening at home. Amen. we could definitely tell what's happening at home. One of the reasons we could tell this is when we're ready to pray, when we're ready to sing, when we're ready to give contribution. More often than not, we could tell who's going to give contribution each and every week. We could tell the kids that know their scriptures. We could tell the kids that are having devotionals with their parents each and every week. Because it's shown. It's shown through their activities. It's shown through their love. It's shown through their giving. There's some times where the ushers come downstairs and they're taking contribution. And if a child is missed, the child will hunt you down to give their contribution. There are other kids, unfortunately, who don't know what it means to give contribution. They don't know the purpose of it. Why do we give contribution? Why are you taking my money every week? I don't understand this. I need my candy. I need my gum. Why would you take my money? So they don't understand the purpose of it. And granted, as the children's ministry, we're there to help. But that's the key word, is help. We're a backbone. We're a support. The heavy lifting is in front of me. It's the parents. We, again, with our 2 hours in a week, cannot lay a foundation for the longevity of our children. Now, it's... I am getting emotional. Amen. I think if you get to 6'5", you're not supposed to cry, so bear with me. You might see it today. But the reason why it's so emotional is because we have kids that are falling through the cracks in front of us. And I know the parents see it, and I know it's difficult, but you are not alone. We are together in this battle. So though the yo man's lift is on your shoulder, we are here to support you. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 5, it reads, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. It was evident that Timothy's family was teaching him about God and building his faith from young. We cannot wait to teach our kids about God and to develop their faith. It literally starts in the cradle. We cannot wait for those moments. Satan will not wait for those moments. He will take every and any opportunity to take our kids away. Now, granted, like my wife said, we are not parents, but do not think that we do not see and we are not impacted by the children who don't make it or by the kids who leave. Don't think that because we are single married that we are not hurting when we see kids detach from God, not in love with God, do not know how to connect with God. Do not think that because we are not parents, we don't feel that pain. I think far often, I am reluctant to speak to parents about this because of that same reason. But it will destroy me if I sit back and I don't speak to you guys. As we continue in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It's clear what they were doing, what Eunice and Lewis were doing to Timothy. Whether it was reading each and every morning, whether it was praying with him, whether it was just walking outside and showing him God's glory. We need to make sure we're taking every opportunity to teach our kids about God. It's a daily battle. Now, parents, again, it's not easy. You have work. You have other activities that you have to do. But the biggest responsibility in your lives, and you don't need me to tell you this, are your kids. You hurt every time they make a mistake. You hurt every time you see that they may be walking away from God. You hurt every time where you think that the scriptures might not be impactful. But again, you are not alone in this battle. You have a wealth of information. You have a wealth of services in the youth and family ministries. We are here to support you. But in order for us to be successful, we need to work together in order for us to accomplish any of these things. In your eyes, mommy and daddy are superheroes. You know, I remember being very young and a lot smaller, and my dad is 5'5", 5'6", at his tallest. And I was probably 8 or 9, and my dad, he does construction. So he's a very small guy, but he is like the strongest man in the world to me when I was a kid. Now, I have a question for all the kids in the room. You knew I was going to use the kids. I have to ask them. For all the children in the room, who thinks their mommy and daddy are their superheroes? Come on, kids. Who thinks their Thank you, Fei-Fei. Yes. Who thinks their mommy and daddy can do anything and everything? Okay, maybe not. Okay. Who thinks that their mom can take care of all of their pain? Okay, we're getting more hands. Okay. So the thing about it is that you are their superhero. It's not what they watch on TV. It's not anyone in school. It's you. You are their superhero. And they will soak up all that information that you give to them or the information you don't give to them. So as we're laying this foundation, understand the fact that you as their superhero, you are laying the best foundation ever. Without you, it is impossible for the children's ministry to succeed. Without you and your service, your dedication, and your heart, we will not be able to do anything. We are strangers to them. You are their primary focus. And even though they grow older, and as they grow older, they grow more loving, right, parents? You are still their superhero. They may not say it, but you're still their superhero. Now, as we build that foundation, the next level is we need to build friendships. And this is where the preteen ministry comes in. We're extremely happy for Darren and Mahogany for being a part and leading the preteen ministry. One of the things that we realized is that that was a missing part of this entire equation. We have to have a focus on the preteens. This is a critical age for them. This is an age where they need to develop friendships, but not just any friendships. They need spiritual friendships. I read an article recently where it states, your child needs buddies as much as she needs food and exercise. Now, granted, the wording is interesting, but amen. This is by the gentleman's name is Fred Franklin. He's a PhD director at UCLA Parent and Training and Children's Friendships Program. They did this research for, I think, around 20 years where they developed a comprehensive plan where they said that it is imperative for your children to have friendships. Now, if we move from the foundation where we're giving our kids all the things they need, all the information they need, we're training them how to become the best disciples possible, the best people possible, then that moves into our preteens ministry, where they can have great and lasting friendships. I remember before I came to Brooklyn, a friend put up a picture of the children's ministry from Brooklyn, and it looked like an army. I think there were like either 20 or 30 kids on stage at the same time. I think it was a Christmas performance. And in seeing that, imagine all of those kids moving together. Imagine all of those kids developing great friendships. What will be able to take them away in a situation like that? If they're able to work together, if they're able to see that they are not alone, if they're able to see that we are in this as one, then there's nothing that will be able to take them away. Now, I don't know if I sound delusional or if I sound detached, or maybe I don't know. I have a very simple faith, unfortunately. That's the gift I've been given, is to have a simple faith. But imagine them being able to work together, to grow together, to be built up together. How powerful will that be? How lasting will that be? The impact that we're making, again, is not just for the moment. This is a lifetime plan. So when you think of the children's ministry, you're not thinking about, I have to go to the dungeon. That's the term I was always told. Going to the dungeon, going to the land of the lost. There's some other terms. Amen. But it's looked upon as this place where you go to die spiritually because you're away from the fellowship. Quite frankly, you're fellowshipping each and every day. You're with those kids. With the things that you say, the way that you dress, the things that you share with them, they soak this up each and every day they're with you. You're making such an impact, but you don't know it. Now, I think about this. A brother texted me recently, and he said, in the text, he was like, thank you, bro. My son prays like such and such. So for me, I have idiosyncrasies. I have my things. And so every time before I pray, I would say, I had like this term that I would use, so let us pray. And so the brother was like, thank you, bro. Every time my son prays now, he says, let us pray. And I'm like, I didn't know if to take that as a compliment or it was a shot. I didn't know. And so as I thought about it, I'm thinking to myself, you really have to pay attention with everything you say and everything you do, because they soak these things up. And don't think that your presence is not making an impact. You just don't know it. And you won't know it until later on. As we continue, and forgive me, as I go through this, there was another article cited in 2015. The article was in Time Magazine, and it talked about spiritual friendships and how important having spiritual friendships are. Now, the funny part about being a child is that you don't have to teach a child spirituality. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but they're more spiritual than we are. They are more faithful than we are. If you tell a child that they could fly, they will do it in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, as we grow older, it dissipates a little bit. But they already have that spirituality. We are just here to reinforce it. As I bring the plane in, I think I'm a bit over my time. Forgive me, guys. As I bring the plane in, I'll leave it with this. I think about, again, the parents and just your role. Phil Arsenal said this. It says, if we lose the kids, we lose the church. Have you been in a church where it's all the people are there are old and there are no kids? The focus, unfortunately, was probably on those who are coming in and not those who were there. We need to make sure that we're focused on the kids. One of the hardest jobs that I've seen is that of being a parent. There are a lot of long, thankless nights and sleepless, filled with worry. Am I making the right decision? Are they going to the right school? Are they surrounded by the right people? Do they have friends? Why don't they have friends? Why are they talking back to me? That's always a good question. When will they grow out of this? When will they become disciples? The list is endless with the worries. It can feel overwhelming that you have the responsibility to nurture these rambunctious, sassy, spiritual, loving, inquisitive, talented, brilliant little people into adulthood. Oftentimes you may feel alone. The truth is that you're not alone. God has given you and your child a far larger family that's around you each and every day. You have countless uncles and aunties that are here to support and help you each and every day. Some of us may be crazy, but we're here to help and support. And God willing, someday we will call our little brothers and sisters our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Thank you, guys.
So today, I have a confession to share with all of you. All right? I am 27 years old. That's not the confession. And I am still afraid of the dark. All right? Is anyone, only the teens? Does anyone else relate to me? No. Okay, good. I have many people I can call on to protect me. Wonderful. I still usually sleep with the TV on. Yeah, this is serious. I've even convinced the teens at teen camp, because it gets real dark, that leaving the porch light on attracts the bugs to outside of the cabin and not inside, so that a little light comes in my way. And yes, this has become an art form for me. It has. What it comes down to for me is a fear of the unknown. I don't know what is there, and I don't know if I'm in danger. Recently, I was talking to my mother about this, and this is her response to me. Very short, simple, and to the point. God is with you. What is there to be scared of? Stop it. I thought she was going to take the belt out on me after a while. In this short amount of time that I have to share with you, all I could think about sharing with you was this. Do not be afraid. We cannot fear. In the least, we cannot allow our fear to keep us from living faithfully for God. All right? So, I don't know if you've caught on or not, but we are proposing a new plan for every stage of the youth and family ministry. So, I'll run through real quick. This is the young teen stage, the 7th and 8th graders that our wonderful Elliot and Angela oversee. Yes, you give up for them. The focus on this stage is to personalize the faith of these children, to help them foster faith in God, all right, to take their faith deeper and to begin to build relationships with mentors, spiritual mentors that they can have in their lives that will help them to succeed. Let me get slide 4, please. So this is the 9th through 12th graders. This is the high school ministry, the teen ministry, all right? And this is where everything that has happened from them in the ministries that they were in when they were children all culminates to this point of having, of bearing fruit, of them hopefully making Jesus Lord when they are in their high school years. It's also preparing them for future, and mentors are very much a part of this as well. If you'll notice, parenting classes and parenting devotionals are a part of literally every stage of this new plan that we have for the youth and family ministry. Now, here's the thing. This can't be done by just 10 people alone. It's not going to be effective in that way. We cannot be afraid to get involved on any level that we can, on any level that we're called by God to. I think in many ways, fear can take the place of faith for us. And it starts to permeate many areas of our life. We can be afraid of the unknown because we don't know what getting involved will lead to, even though it could be leading us straight to the place that God wants us to be. We can't be afraid to be willing participants in the lives of children and youth any longer. It has to stop here. It can't be any more excuses as to why we can't even be a mentor to these children in some type of way. If this model is put into practice with hearts that are imitating Jesus behind it, then the benefits are really endless. The impact that it will have on so many lives, including our own, will be so profound that the sacrifice that it took to get there would not even be worth mentioning. Imagine with me for a second. This is the vision and the dream that I think about often. Imagine every teenager choosing to follow Jesus before they graduate high school, and then going into the campus ministry as faithful disciples with something to offer that ministry and give back to that ministry. And then they transition into the singles ministry. Not only faithful, but now more mature and with stronger convictions. And maybe even turning to serve the youth and family ministry to give back to a ministry that gave so much to them and their families. If God wills it for them to get married, they do so and have strong, faithful, conviction-filled marriages and raise their children up in the Lord with everything that they were raised with themselves. Just imagine this for a second. Those children become part of our children's ministry now, and the cycle continues again and again from one generation to the next. Along the way, they help their friends, their family members, their classmates, their coworkers to live lives for Jesus as well. This is an incredible way for us to evangelize the world, though it may not be the plan that we had in mind at first. Wouldn't you want to be a part of something like that? I'm parched up here, sorry. Wouldn't you want to be part of something like that? Wouldn't you rather share with the young about the salvation that you've gained instead of being crippled by fear and a lack of faith? Stop being afraid of what will happen to your time. Don't worry so much about being sacrificial and how it's going to impact you. Don't get me wrong, it's important to plan accordingly, but sometimes we give ourselves too many excuses of why we can't serve and why we can't give back. Parents, don't be afraid to get open and get help on your parenting. Don't be afraid to get help for your marriages and your personal walks with God. If every parent in here got together with another parent in the church, at least just once a month, if they did that, just to talk about what's going on in their homes and to pray about that, I think our families will be incredibly impacted by just that alone. My fear is that this isn't happening as often as it should, though. My fear is that oftentimes this is put as a back burner. But the thing is, no, your family is going to suffer from that. This is for single parent households as well as married couples, all right? Your family will be impacted by that because no one has a greater impact on your child than you. Preteens, youth, and teens, I'm speaking to you right now, so pay attention, okay? Preteens, youth, and teens, do not be afraid to get to know God for yourselves. That is your decision that you must make. I promise you, He is incredible. He will fill you like nothing else can in this world. You would know His love for you and the benefits of following Him if you would just study the Bible and seek Him with your whole heart. I promise you that. For any visitors that are here today, for the first time, we welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Your family can be impacted by this as well. My encouragement to you is to get to know God on a deeper level for yourself first, then turn and help your family. Please speak to the person that invited you today, like right after the final song, because about studying the Bible and getting to know God, because this is something that cannot be delayed. All right? Your family will be blessed by this. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1 now. Let's take a look. Hopefully your finger is still there. Joshua 1 as we close out here. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 2. So this is, just for context, God is talking to Joshua, who is about to lead the Israelites into God's promised land, all right? So in verse 2 it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Let's jump to verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is an incredible scripture, one that my mother would share with me in my times of fear. So I thought it was fitting to pass on to you as well. I believe that God tells us the same thing today that He told to Joshua then. Go into new land. Go into this new territory that you haven't been in before and do not fear, because He is with us. With Him, we can be courageous enough to do something different and something impactful. With God, we can be confident and we need not fear anything. I thank you so much for your time today. All right. I wasn't too sure. I didn't want to cut you off. So before I get off the stage, we're going to play a video. All right. We're going to play a video, very impactful video that I just encourage you to put yourself into the video. And also, lastly, to close us out, we have an amazing brother who was impacted by this youth and family conference himself as well. And he will be speaking to the hearts of our singles and Edge ministry, all right? Here's our brother Ashton Cooper. He will come up and speak to you guys some of the things that he's learned and how he's been putting this into practice as well. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well,
Good afternoon, church. As Joe mentioned, my name is Ashton Cooper. I'm part of the Edge Ministry here. And a few months ago, what I can only describe as a revival happened in my heart. I don't know if you ever remember a time where you heard something really powerful. Maybe it was a story, a point from a sermon, a scripture that really stirred something up in you. And I've had that a few times in my spiritual walk. But one of the more recent times was this past September. It was a Friday night, and since I'm no longer in the campus ministry, my Friday nights, I feel a little restless. For 6.5 years of my discipleship, every Friday night was a Devo or a family night. So when it's Friday night, and I'm in the singles ministry, and there's no, like, particular event scheduled, I'm like, I should be doing something. I should be doing something. I'm bothering Stephen Cruz in the house about getting out there and maybe having some fun and doing something. And this Friday night, I was scrolling along on Facebook, and I saw that they were live streaming the lesson from the family conference, the opening lesson for the All Generations Conference. And I knew this conference was happening. I knew that some of my friends were going, Joe and Angie and Dexter and all these people were going. And I heard it announced many times as well, but I thought, I'm not a parent. I'm not a team worker. I'm not leading the children's ministry. There's no reason I would go. Why am I going to head to this conference? But I found out you can watch it. And from my laptop, there I am, listening to the first lesson, singing the songs. And that's when that revival began. Because I quickly realized that this family conference, All Generations, was for me. The family ministry, the family is for me. And that mainly is because I'm a part of God's family. God's family does not exclude the singles. Let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 tells us the spiritual truth about our family in Christ. And I'm going to read quickly there. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with it its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two of us, thus making peace, and in one body reconciled both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." You know, in this passage, Paul places an emphasis on the Gentile Christians being a part of God's people along with the Jewish Christians. They were not separate movements of Christianity. They were together. They were equal in God's eyes. And the gap that existed between them before they became Christians was no longer. Jesus closed that gap by his death. They went from strangers and foreigners to citizens and members of God's household, God's family. He is our Heavenly Father, and we are family members. This is the spiritual truth about us, about our family. God has powerfully and purposefully brought us together. This peace we have is purchased by his blood. This is us. Anything related to God's church, God's family, belongs to us. And we are a part of it. It's ours. It's not a them thing or a they thing that we could sometimes feel. It's a us thing. It belongs to each and every one of us. You know, I don't know if you ever caught yourself saying something like that, like, "Oh, they're having a youth and family service today." No, we're having a youth and family service today because it's our church and each and every one of us is a part of it. This is us. Jesus died to bring us together. And a relationship status should not affect that. What Bible talk you're in should not affect that. Whether you have kids or not should not affect that. No matter what your age is, it should not affect that. But for some of us, it does. And I think it's easy for us, especially those like myself who don't have any kids or any biological family in the church, to feel left out in a message about family and about youth and family, especially if we aren't active in serving in the youth and family ministry. But this message at the All Generations Conference had 2 points, and the first point was family is for singles too. That was the first point of the first lesson of this family conference.
Family is for singles too. And I needed to hear that. And I hope that through me, if you need to hear that, that you hear that as well. We need family. I know for my singles, my brothers and sisters, we need family. We need to be around families more. In Psalm 68, verses 5 to 7, you can write it down. It says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families, the solitary in families. He sets the single in families. God is surrounding us with families and parents and children. And I think there's a missing piece in the experience that God wants us to have if we don't connect with the families around us. We need to connect with the family around us. The love and the comfort of the families around us within the church. You know, I have at least four different friends who are young singles who lost their father in the past month. This scripture is very real for me. And it makes me just really understand that God placed us in this family so that we can be there for each other. We need that connection with people in the faith who can be mothers and fathers to us. And I know as singles, oftentimes we're yearning for that connection with older brothers and sisters. People who can help us mature. And we have that within the Edge ministry, but we also have that in the marriage ministry and in the parents around us. We can learn to be godly husbands, wives, fathers, mothers now. We can connect with these families, spend time in their homes. Invite yourself over. You are welcome. Last week, a sister threatened me for the fact that she invited me to her house, and I didn't set a day. And she's like, all right, this invitation's got like one more week left on it. So if you don't act on it now, I'm taking back my invitation. Like, that's the type of welcoming environment that's around us in this family in Christ. You know, I love being in the homes of disciples. I get so impacted being around older Christians. I get an opportunity to go to daytime every week. Daytime service happens at Thursday at 11 a.m. And it's with all these amazing people in the church. And a lot of them, I see like mothers in Christ. And it's an incredible moment. And I think about the fact that when Jesus was hanging out with disciples and his mother and his brothers came over to say, hey, we're outside, we're waiting for you. He said, this is my mother, brother, and sister around me. And I think about, for us as singles, are we able to say that we're not only around our peers, our brothers and sisters, but around our mothers and fathers in Christ? Who are the people we're spending time with? And it's just amazing the opportunities and the ways that God can comfort us by us really being a part of these families and being served by these families. But also, we can be serving these families. You know, Acts 20, verse 35, it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So if I go over to that sister's house, I actually acted on the invitation, so I'm going to be going in a few weeks. I'm sure I'm going to get some food. You know, I'm sure it's going to be a great time. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. But it's not all about that. It's about the service that I can give to them as a family as well. We can receive so much from our parents in the church, so much wisdom, love, and encouragement. But that's not the only way we should be connected to them. We should be serving our families. We should be serving our young families, our single mothers and dads, the parents with teens. We should be serving our brothers and sisters. If you want to meet a need in the church, go babysit. Go run an errand for someone. Go help someone out in their home. You know, for all the people who serve in the family ministry, in the children's ministry, in the teens, I thank you guys. You guys are incredible. Praise God for people like you. Because you realize this is us. These are our children. Even if they're not your children, they're our children. Because we are together in the family of God. But I also want to say, even if you're not serving in the youth and family or serving in the children's ministry, you can still be in a child's life. You do not need to be assigned to a child to be in their life, to help them, to serve them. You can be in their life, and we shouldn't be compelled by any assignment or position, but by the love of Jesus. You know, I got an opportunity to serve a group of marrieds recently. I hit up Steve and I said, hey, Steve, if you want to like go out on a date and have some fun, I'll babysit the kids. Like, go ahead, tell some more marrieds about it. And Steve responded very quickly. Very quickly. He actually didn't say much. He just said, awesome. And I was like, okay. All right. I understand that might be awesome. And I was thinking, okay, in a few months, Steve will get back to me with a date. In 2 weeks, Steve was like, this Saturday, I got 10 kids coming your way. And I was like, whoa. That's a lot of kids. And I reached out to a group of singles. So it's five of us singles in a house with 10 kids between the ages of like 3 and 7. And we're watching like, I forgot what we watched, Secret Life of Pets. We're eating pizza. We're hanging out. And the marriages are getting an opportunity to go out on dates. And yes, it might look like we serve them, but it was a blessing for me to be able to do something like that. To see those kids and to see those marrieds really being encouraged. We should never lack in volunteers in the church. We should never lack in that. You know, if I told you that there was a meeting in this building with almost 100 people who are not yet disciples in it, and they invited you to share your life with them, to preach the word to them, they want to learn from you. They want you to teach them the Bible. They just want to hang out and learn from you a little bit more. Would you still be in this room? Would you be in this room if I told you in another room there's 100 people who want you to share your life with them and help them learn about the Bible? I think you would say, sign me up. I think you would say, here am I, send me. You're a disciple of Jesus. This is the perfect opportunity for you to share your faith. What if I told you it happened every Sunday? And what if I told you it wasn't a hypothetical situation? That it's real. That is our children's ministry. That is our family ministry. That is our youth and our preteens. They're around us right now. And that's the opportunity that we get to serve. You know, this is our family. And no matter where you are in the place of that family, whether you have kids, no matter your age, you really need to embrace the fact that we're together in this, and this is God's calling. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.